Change opening point. सद्गुरु ब्रह्म विद्वारा श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय। सो वी आर स्टडीइंग द ज्ञानसार कंपोजिशन ऑफ अवर पूज्य गुरुजी स्वामी तेजोमयानंद जी। इन दिस टेक्स्ट वी सी द जर्नी ऑफ ए जीवा। What is that progression which we all undergo from being bound to being to thinking to doing viveka to becoming mokshu to seeking knowledge for liberation, approaching the guru for liberation, for knowledge for liberation? Then, what is the nature of that knowledge? Must be understood that I am Atma, which is Chitti Swabhavaha, etc. Then we saw last night that this Jiva has now become Jivan Mukta after studying. We also looked at the topic of Parama Vairagya. So Vairagya as a sadhana versus Vairagya as the result of knowledge. We saw Samatvam as a sadhana versus Samatvam as the result of knowledge. And now the student who has become Jivan Mukta, he is doing Kritagnyata. He has shown gratitude to the Guru. That whatever I was trying to achieve means moksha, I have been trying for, and it seemed impossible. That which seemed impossible to gain, that has been accomplished by the Guru. And therefore, I am ever grateful. Tam Guru Punaha Vai Namami Namami. Again and again, I do namaskara, I do salutations, prostrations to that guru. So we continue with our study of shloka number 14, where the student says, means not student anymore, he is Jivan Mukta. He says, this knowledge is ashcharyam. Knowledge is a wonder. अहो सदे कत्व विलोकनेन
अहो सदे
विखेद भाव सकलो विनष्ट स्वस्मान्न पश्याम्यणुमात्र मन्यत
स्वस्मान्न पश्याम्यणुमात्र
महा भूतः किन्नु सदात्मभावः So he says, Ahu. Ahu means what a wonder. It is what we call as the aha moment. Right? Oh, finally, I understand. This is what he was telling all along. Aha, finally, I got it. The same thing he has been teaching for so many years. Finally, I understood what he has been telling. So it is the aha moment, but in Sanskrit it is aho. In Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, there is a similar shloka that comes in chapter 2. It says that this knowledge is a wonder. Someone who knows this knowledge is a wonder. The teacher of that knowledge is a wonder. Even somebody who does not know. Even that is a wonder because it is my own self. I should know me. At least I should know me, right? It is the most subjective thing, and still I don't know. Well, that has to be a wonder. So, Atma is Aashcharyam, Brahma Vidya is Aashcharyam. The one who studies Brahma Vidya is Aashcharyam. The teacher of that knowledge is Aashcharyam. The one who understands that knowledge is Aashcharyam. And the one who does not understand is also Aashcharyam. Now he says, Vibheda Bhavaha Sakalaha Vinashtaha. All of the Bhava of Bheda. So Bheda Bhavana, what we were looking at yesterday. Raga, viraga, mama, aham, those bheda bhavanas, those distinctions, sakalaha vinashtaha, all of them have been completely destroyed. Why? Because of sat ekatva vilokanena. Because I have understood that absolute oneness. If there is oneness, then there cannot be any distinction or division. Therefore, vibheda bhavah sakalah vinashta. All divisions have been destroyed. I am that Atma, which is described as ekam eva advitiyam, one without a second. That which is infinite. Because that is the nature of Atma. Atma is infinite. What is the definition of infinite? There is no start and there is no end also. In that which is infinite, if there is no start, no end, how can there exist a second? Right? It is not possible for a second thing to exist in that which is infinite. Because the minute something else exists, it means this thing had a point where it stopped. There was an end. Then only when it ended, then a second thing came up. Or then a second thing can start. But in infinite, there is no beginning, no end. Therefore, there is no way for a second thing to exist. So if there is only one, and that one is infinite, then how can there be any divisions? Distinction is not possible. Swasmat anyat anumatram na pashyami. Now I do not see anything different from myself, not even a little. From the absolute standpoint, there is no distinction between Jiva, Jagat, and Ishvara. So remember the five questions were there before. Who am I? Where have I come from? Who is this God? What is this world? What is the purpose of my life? Those five questions came. And of those five questions, three of them were about Jiva, Jagat, and Ishvara. So from the absolute standpoint, there are no distinctions between these three. So I don't see anything as different from myself. I understand, I recognize the oneness between that Ishwara and myself. In the same way, we recognize the oneness between the wave and the ocean. From the standpoint of water, there is no distinction between wave and ocean. Wave is made up of water. Ocean is also made up of the same water. From the standpoint of water, there is no distinction, no difference. This jiva is really Atma. That Ishwara is really Atma. From the standpoint of Atma, there is no distinction. Mahadbhutaha kinnu sadatma bhavaha. Recognizing this oneness itself is a wonder. It is a wonder because this world is telling me something totally different. When I experience this world, we experience the plurality of the world. We experience the variety in the world. All of the differences and distinctions are there. We experience it. And so for there to be absolute oneness amidst this plurality is a wonder. Shloka number 15. So now he's telling what my earlier understanding is. Mm-hmm. So if we want to say, we could say even like, you know, maybe this jiva, he went to become student. He's now jiva mukta. And now he is inspiring someone else. We could say like that, right? So he could be telling another potential student of Vedanta, you know, just like you, I also taught in this way, like that. Asit purame nijakartrita matihi. Prapta yayame chiradukha samsrutihi. Shithili krita sa kriti yoga dwara. Bodhena daso hamiti shwarasya. So he says, Pura, earlier at the time of ignorance, me nijakartrita matihi asit. At the time of ignorance, I had very strong kartritva bhava, notion of doership. I am the doer. And as long as kartritva bhava is there, bhoktritva bhava is equally there. So I used to think that I am the doer. I am the performer of this action. And as the performer of this action, I am entitled to the result of the action. So I do good work, then I should get praise. But nobody likes to get criticism. Yaya me chira dukha samsatihi prapta. And because I had this wrong understanding, this sense of doership, I experienced continuous sorrow. Endless sorrow. Because sometimes I do good work and I get praise. Other times, I may not do such good work and I get criticism. So sometimes I enjoy and sometimes I suffer. But this up and down of life, I don't like it. And so when we engage in work, there is always a constant pressure of, am I qualified? Can I do this work? Is there somebody else who can do, right? Am I competent? Deadlines, right? So that constant pressure is always there when we have that sense of doership. And it is not a nice place to be because you are constantly stressed out. Ha, kriti yoga dwara shithili krita. But that notion of doership has been reduced through karma yoga. In karma yoga, we have an understanding that Bhagavan has ichha, has desire for particular work to be done. That work came my way because of Bhagavan. He sent that work for me. What he told already in third shloka, fourth shloka. Vividheshu karmasu. So that work came my way because Bhagavan sent it my way. So the desire belonged to Bhagavan. The work was sent by Bhagavan. Bhagavan enlivened my body, gives me energy to be able to fulfill that work. So how could I claim credit? It doesn't make any sense. Credit goes there to the individual or the entity which has the desire and which performed the action. This desire is not mine. This body is not mine. The action is not mine. Nothing is mine. So really and truly, how can I claim credit? I cannot even claim credit for the breath in my lungs, for the air in my lungs. Right? So what I was explaining a couple days ago, Ishwara Arpana Buddhi, offering the actions to God, should cure or reduce the notion of doership. And receiving result with prasada buddhi should reduce the enjoyership. And in that way, both karitritva bhava and bhoktritva bhava should reduce significantly with karma yoga. Parasya dasaha aham iti bodhena. By that knowledge that I am the servant of God. This is karma yoga. In that way, with this understanding that I am the servant of God and I have engaged in karma yoga, through that means or through that sadhana, this karitritva bhava, bhoktritva bhava have been reduced. So my earlier understanding was what? Because of avidya, I thought I was the doer, an enjoyer. But karma yoga was the sadhana that I used to reduce that way of thinking. So he's telling us, right? Do karma yoga. Bring down that ahankara. See, karitritva bhava, bhoktritva bhava, they are just different hats of the same ahankara, right? So when we do this karma yoga, the notion or the ahankara itself, the notion of I-ness, that sense of individuality starts to come down. And what develops is what we call as humility. That is what humility is. Shloka 16. So he told the earlier understanding. Now he is sharing with us his current knowledge. Kartana bhoktana kasya pidasaha. ह्यहं परात्मा तु सदैव मुक्तः। ज्ञातं मयेदं निजबोधदृष्ट्या। गुरुप्रसादाच्च श्रुतिप्रमाणा। So now, and this is where things become interesting. In the very previous shloka, he said, Ishasya dasaha aham. And now he said, Nakasya api dasaha. Yeah, I'm not a servant. So two seemingly contradictory statements have arisen. How to resolve? So we resolve it just now, right? So what he told before, he said, because of avidya, because of ignorance, I thought I was the doer. To help me come out of all of that, I engage in karma yoga as a sadhana. Then what is unsaid between that shloka and this shloka is, I gain knowledge. I gain knowledge that I am not the doer. I am not the experiencer. I am not even das. Because I am not ahankara, I am atma, which is not the doer, which is not the experiencer, nor the dasa. Here's where we have to fit in the little pieces of knowledge. Resolve that seeming contradiction. So I am not the doer, I am not the experiencer. Let's just focus on this for now. Doership and enjoyership require instruments of the BMI. Atma does not have any instrument or equipment. For any action to be done, I need parts, right? What part is there in Atma? No parts are there because it is infinite. Atma is infinite. In infinite, you can't have parts. Yeah, right? No parts are there. So no equipment is there. So what sense of doership or what action can be done by Atma? No action can be done. And if no action can be done, then no result can go there either. Because who gets the result? Result goes to the performer of the action. So if Atma is not performer of action, then Atma equally cannot get the result of action. So Atma is akarita and abhokta. Now, nakasya api dasaha. Nor am I the servant. Again, this is from the standpoint of Atma. From the absolute standpoint, I am not dasaha. Master-servant relationship to exist, there has to be two entities, master and servant. But Atma is infinite. Atma is ekameva advitiyam. So what master-servant relationship can be there if there is only one? So then how to understand, how to resolve the conflict? Honestly, I don't know the quotation, the reference for this. I have tried so hard to find out where this comes from, but I don't know. This Hanumanji, Bhagwan Rama asked Hanumanji, what is our relationship? And Hanumanji replied, Deha Buddhya Tu Dasoham. From the standpoint of body, you are Prabhu, and I am your dasa. Jiva buddhya tvat amshakaha. From the standpoint of Jiva, you are the whole and I am a part of you. Atma buddhya tvamevaham. But from the standpoint of Atma, there is no distinctions. Iti me nishchita matihi. This is my firm conviction. So from the standpoint of body, Jiva and Atma, three relationships exist. Or I should say two relationships and one understanding. Because the third is not a relationship. From the standpoint of body, I am servant. From the standpoint of Jiva, Bhagwan, you are the whole and I am a part. But from the standpoint of Atma, we are one and the same. So if I think of myself as a finite ahankara or Jiva, then Bhagwan, I am your dasa. But Bhagwan, if I see myself, if I understand that I am Atma and you are Atma, then there is no dasa relationship. Dasa bhava will not be there. So it depends upon the standpoint and the perspective from which we understand the shloka. There is no contradiction. That is why we say it is a seeming contradiction. It appears to be contradictory, but it is easily resolved. You know, like one example is given, if three people are there, one fellow is 5 feet tall, one is 6 feet tall, and one is 7 feet tall. From the standpoint of the 6 feet tall guy, the 7 foot tall guy is taller, so I am short. But if you compare with the 5 feet guy, I am tall. Same fellow, he didn't change. Same height is there. What is my standpoint? What is the perspective from which I view things? Am I looking from the transactional standpoint, the Vyavaharic standpoint, or from the Paramarthika standpoint, the absolute standpoint? That makes a big difference. So this is my new understanding. Aham, hi aham paratma. I am Paramatma. I am Brahman. I am that Supreme Self, which is ever liberated. Sadaiva Muktaha. That this Atma, it is not that I was bound and became liberated. I always was liberated. Sadaiva Muktaha. Nitya Muktaha. I just did not know I was liberated. That is what jnanam is. It is to understand that I am Atma, which always was liberated. Na api nibadhyate va. I never was bound to begin with. And what I explained here when we studied that shloka is that Atma is chiti svabhavaha. Atma is of the nature of consciousness, of the nature of knowledge. And there where means my nature is knowledge, ignorance cannot exist. Ignorance is the cause of bondage. If ignorance cannot exist, then bondage cannot happen. I don't need liberation. I already am liberated. But I have to understand that I am not ahankara. I am Atma, which is always liberated. My identity has to change. Or I should say, what I identify with has to change. Maya idam jnatam. I know this. I know that I am akarita, abhokta, na apidasaha. I know this. I know I am Paratma. I am Brahman. That Brahman is always liberated. I know this. How do I know this? Guru Prasada. Through the grace of Guru. Because he is so compassionate, he taught me. He pulled me out of samsara. Smriti Pramanat. This knowledge is not what he told Tarkena Naisha Matira Paneya. It is not gained through Tarka, it is not gained through Yukti or logic. It is through Shruti alone. Nija Bodha Drishtya. And I did mananam, I did thinking, reflection on that knowledge. This is my understanding. This is my logical reasoning. I came to the right conclusion through that self-effort, through that mananam. So Guru Prasada is there. Shruti is there. And through my own effort. Because Guru's grace could be there, Shruti ever was there, but if I don't make any effort, then I will never understand. So you can tell, you know, people waiting for some saint to come and bless them. Put your hand on my head. I'll gain liberation. That's not how we gain liberation, right? Some miracle they're hoping for, they're waiting for. That doesn't happen. It happened to one person, but that is, you know, some by the grace of God. That doesn't mean it works for everybody else, you know? Shloka 70. Dhanya tushtaha. This is his state of feeling fulfilled and content. Na karma kinchit karaniyam asti. Na drishyam maya darshaniyam tathahi. Yeyam param nasti sadatma bhavat. Dhanyo dhunaham nijalabha tushtah.
Dhanyo dhunaham.
So he says, na karma kinchit karaniyam asti. Karma kinchit karaniyam na asti. I don't have any karmas left to be done. No work is left to be done. This is the statement of the Jivan Mukta. Made out of a sense of total completeness and fulfillment. So I think it was last night or the night before, we came upon the word Purna, right? Because I am complete, I am tushtaha, triptaha, content. Because I am content, no desires arise. And because there are no desires, I am not pushed into karma. What this is, arising out of a sense of completeness, I don't have any desires. No desire, no action. But the Jivan Mukta is not a selfish fellow. Like his guru, he is compassionate also, right? So he knows that there are so many jivans who need help, who need to come out of samsara. So what he will do, he will engage in some kind of work. But it is not karma yoga anymore. It is loka sangraha. He is working for the benefit of the society, for the sake of the world. It is not for his own take anymore. He is not trying to earn punya anymore. What punya for Atma? No punya is there. Right? whatever work he does, it is for Loka Sangraha, not for himself. He's already fulfilled. That is one reason why he will do. Second reason is Yadyadacharati whatever we see noble people do, that we follow. So to set an example for us, he will work. Because if we look at him, we say, oh, you gain liberation. So you're not working. All right, I will gain liberation. I will not work. Or before I even gain liberation, I will say, I drop all karmas. Because you're not doing anything. So I will also follow you. So he works for Loka Sangraha as well as for setting an example for us. Yesterday, I was explaining to the junior chicks how our Pujya Gurudev and Guruji, they would have been working, with not the best of health. Even Swami Tapovan Maharaj, right? They did not have best of health, yet they were serving us. Actually, that is what it is. And through them, we gain inspiration. Because otherwise, we get a little cold and we lay flat in bed. Right? I'm not talking about COVID, just regular flu. We get a little bit of sickness and I need to rest, I need to rest. But they have 25% of the heart functioning, if so much, and traveling so much. Working so much for whose benefit? Our own benefit. Tatha hi maya nadrishyam darshaniyam. And now, so there is no work left to be done, and there is also nothing left to see. There is nothing left to know. Knowing that by which everything else is known. Comes in Bhagavad Gita, comes in Upanishad also. If I know that Atma, then I know everything. Once the cause is known, the effect is known. I don't have to know everything individually. That is one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is he is content, he is complete. It doesn't matter what, I'm not interested in, going on some cruise or sightseeing or those desires are no longer there. If he goes by, some prarabdha karma or something that is different, he goes, he will see, he will enjoy, and he will come back, but he doesn't have the desire to do it. The desire is absent. That is the point. The desire for work is absent. The desire to see is absent. That is the point here. It is the lack of desire which is arising from total and complete fulfillment. It's not like he's going to blindfold his eye and walk around the place, right? Neyam param nasti. Now nothing is left to be known. Already the highest knowledge is understood, knowing which everything else is known, nothing else it remains to be known. Sadatma bhava, because I understand that I am Atma. Atma bhava, therefore I am nija labha tushta. I am totally and completely content. Why? Because I am Atma, which is Sat Swarupa, which is Purna Swarupa. I am not missing anything. I am not lacking anything. I have that sense of completeness, that sense of fulfillment, and therefore, dhanyaha adhuna aham. I am dhanyaha. I am blessed. I am fulfilled. There is a stotram written by Bhagwan Adi Shankaracharya ji called as Dhanyashtakam. Nine, eight shlokas are there. We studied on the course. We could study next time. But it was very beautiful because there he was explaining all of the things that we have to be grateful for. Look at 80. This is Guru Pada Seva. So from Kritagnyata, offering gratitude to the Guru, explaining, this was my way of thinking. It was not the right way of thinking because of which I had so much sorrow in my life. I knew that. I recognized that. So I did Karma Yoga. That Karma Yoga purified my mind. It reduced Ahankara. And it sent me into the lap of the Guru. That Guru told me, I am akarta, abhokta. I am not dasa. And that arising from that knowledge, I understood that I am not the doer, etc. And I have a sense of completeness, a sense of fulfillment. Now I am so grateful. What do I do? कार्यं न मे यद्यपि किञ्चिदस्त्र तथापि कर्तुं परिशेषमस्ति यस्योपदेशेन च लब्धविद्यः नित्यं हि भक्त्या गुरुपादसेवा
नित्यं हि भक्त्या पादसेवा
नित्यं हि भक्त्या पादसेवा
नित्यं हि भक्त्या पादसेवा
यद्यपि इवन दो अत्र हियर इन दिस वर्ल्ड मे न किंचित कार्यम अस्ति. I don't have any more duties. Tathapi, still, kartum parishesham asti. There is something I can do. I don't have any duties to perform. I don't have any obligations. For the Jivan Mukta, Shastra tells you have no more duties to perform. The purpose of duties is for us to purify mind, gain knowledge, and gain liberation. Once that happens, the duties have fulfilled their purpose, then I can drop it. Like the example I was giving yesterday with the spoon. You pick up the spoon for the sake of cooking the meal, but once the meal is done, then put it away, no? Put it in the sink. You can drop it. We don't have to carry it all over. The means can be once the goal is achieved. So he says, Tathapi kartum parisheshram asti. Still, there is something that I can do. This sentence that there is still something I can do, it is not said out of a desire. He's not desiring to do something. He is telling out of gratitude. I want to show my gratitude for my teacher. Therefore, I want to do something. out of a desire born of incompleteness. So what he says, Labdha the one by whom knowledge was gained, means my guru. Yasya Upadeshena, by whose Upadesha, by whose teaching, whose instruction, I gain knowledge. Of that teacher, of that guru, Nityam hi bhaktya guru pad seva. With tremendous amount of devotion, I can serve my guru. I can do guru pad seva. I can worship his feet. I can do service to his feet. And when we say the word feet, we mean the knowledge on which he is standing. So how can I serve the feet of that guru? How can I serve the knowledge on which he is standing? There is only one way. Teach. Whatever he taught, that you teach. So yesterday I was explaining Guru Shishya Parampara. It is not just Guru Parampara. The Shishya has to be there too, right? The Guru taught the student, and that student became a Guru. Because the knowledge has to be passed on through some means. So it means that I have a role, I have a responsibility to fulfill, but not out of lack of fulfillment, out of gratitude alone, I am going to pass on this knowledge to another student, another deserving student, another adhikari. And he already started to do it because he is telling Puramatihi. What was my wrong thinking? He's telling that to us. He already started to teach us, right? So he's telling us now, go and do karma yoga. Then approach your guru. Means then come to me for knowledge. Then I will guide you. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, and I think also it comes in chapter 9, Bhagavan is telling Arjuna, I am going to give you this knowledge, Ashirshataha. I will give it to you in full, completely, unreservedly. I'm not going to hold back any knowledge. No secrets. Even though this knowledge is Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, but I am not going to hold back any secret from you. In the Vedanta course, our Swamiji, he explained, in the worldly sphere, whenever teacher teaches the student, he will hold back some kind of secret from him because he doesn't want competition. But in the spiritual realm, everything is told in full because that teacher wants you to gain liberation. It is nothing about competition at that point. He wants you to be liberated. So he's going to tell that knowledge in detail, in full, without any hesitation, without any reservation. One text is there, Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha, where Bhagwan Adi Shankaracharya ji, he told that, and he uses an analogy of the philosopher's stone. He said that the philosopher's stone's glory is this: it will transform any metal into gold. But that is all it will do. That is where the glory ends. It can transform any metal into gold, but it will not transform any metal into itself. It will not make anything else into another philosopher's stone. What is precious is not the metal, is not the gold. What is precious is a philosopher's stone. So it will transform another metal into gold, but it will not do it. It will not transform it into another philosopher's stone. But the guru will transform the student into himself, into a Jiva Mukta. So what is really being glorified is the guru. Out of gratitude, we will continue that guru shishya parampara through continuous study and teaching. In this way, we do Guru Pada Seva. Nothing else. He doesn't want anything else. He doesn't need anything else. He himself is fulfilled and complete. He himself is a Jivan Mukta. He doesn't need to do anything else. He doesn't need to go and see anything else. Right? The only way to serve the Guru is to share the knowledge. That is what Puja Gurudev did for us. And that is what Puja Swami Tejomayananda Ji did for us. He didn't keep the knowledge for himself either. He continued the parampara. So we have to do our responsibility, fulfill our duty, and ensure that it remains ever vibrant, ever dynamic. Shri Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai. We chant the first sutra. Thank you for inviting. Aradhyam Paramam
Ramam. Paramam Ramam.
Dattva Bhaktya
Dattva Bhaktya
Jnanasaram Pravakshyami.
Dattva
Svatmanishthaika Siddhaye.
Swatmanishthaika Siddhaye.
Namadam, Namidam, Namadpurnamudachyate, Purnasya, Namadayam, Purnamevavashishyate. Shanti, 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 Hari Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namah, Hari Om, Shri Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai. Hari Om.